Let me see my little sister. And family, back in Christian Charity this morning. I thank the Lord for one more day. Open with me, if you would, to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 15. Read three verses in your hearing. We're going to get right into the message. But the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him. And put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. And bring the fatted calf here and kill it. And let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Bow with me. Father God, we're so grateful for this Lord's Day that you've allowed us to come, O God, to worship and to give you glory. And we praise you, O Lord, for your majesty, your sovereignty, for who you are. For all of your many blessings and all of your many benefits, Father, we say thank you this morning. And we ask, O God, that you would continue to move in this time of worship, this time of celebration, O Lord. Speak to the hearts of your people. We pray for transformation in the lives of the worshipers present today. And ask, O God, that you would cause our hearts to rejoice because of your goodness. Cause us, O Lord, to seek a closer relationship with you. Lord, just to experience the comfort and the blessing of that divine intimacy. Add to the kingdom, O Lord. Add to the church today any that may be lost. And then, Lord, if there be someone who knows you but needs a church family with which to worship, to honor, and to give you glory, plant them here at Christian Charity that they might use their gifts and abilities for the upbuilding of your kingdom in this church body. And Father, we'll be careful to give you all the praise and all of the glory in the name of Jesus. Amen. Lift your Bibles with me and repeat after me. This is my Bible, God's holy word, a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. I will hide it in my heart that I may not sin against God. Amen. Let's give the Lord some praise, and you may be seated in his divine presence this morning. Now, let's go ahead and start this the right way. Praise the Lord, everybody.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord, everybody.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. We praise God today, and we just want to talk to you about celebrating with Thanksgiving. Amen. And as we approach this Thanksgiving Day celebration, we are a people, amen, and a nation that God has truly blessed. And of all of those, amen, who will give thanks and praise to his holy name, our name should be at the top of the list. Amen. For I'm convinced that God has been better to us than he has to virtually all the people that exist on planet Earth. And therefore, in God's sight, we ought to be more thankful than others who don't have what God has blessed us with. Amen. And as a result, because God has entrusted so much to us, God expects more from us as it relates to praise and thanksgiving than he does from some other folk. Thanksgiving Day is a legal holiday, amen, marking the feast that the pilgrims celebrated after their harvest, amen, a bountiful harvest, amen, and you know, back in 1600s, amen. And we should celebrate Thanksgiving on Thursday with a view of the blessing that God has given to each of us and to our families. Amen. Amen. And we should do it on Thursday with our family and friends, and certainly celebrate with thanksgiving because of the goodness of God. Amen. This is a very, very familiar passage, a very familiar story, and it reveals a powerful message, amen, related to celebrating with thanksgiving the blessing that God gives to his children, amen. And and with it, yes, we ought to be looking forward with great anticipation, not just to the turkey, the ham, and whatever else y'all plan on cooking, but the time that we can reflect on what God has done in our lives and in the lives of our families. And I just want to say this morning, I believe that most of us would agree God has been good to us. Amen. I believe God has been good to every person sitting in this sanctuary this morning. I'm not going to say you didn't have some trials, you haven't had some tribulation, maybe even some sickness, but in your sickness, God has still been good to you. Amen. And Thursday is not just a day to kick it. Amen. It's a day to celebrate and to give God glory for his manifold blessing, his manifold benefits that you and I enjoy because of his love and the favor that God has for us. Now, I just want to spend a little time examining the text this morning. Don't plan to keep you long, but I want us to look into this text and exegete from it those things that speak to the spirit of thanksgiving. And if I might just start with at the beginning of the story, amen, there was a shocking request made by the son of this man. And the scripture says this man had two sons. And in Luke 15, verses 11 and 12, it says, "Then he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me.' And he divided to them his livelihood." And this was a shocking request because it was tantamount to his son saying, "I wish you were dead." Amen. And he was not entitled to an inheritance. Do we, most of us, if our parents left us anything, we didn't get it until they was gone on to glory. And that's kind of how that business of inheritance worked. You receive it after the death of that loved one who has put you in their will or chosen to leave something for you. But he was brazen enough to come to his father and say, "Father, give me my cut now. Give me what belongs to me. Give me what is coming to me when you close your eyes in death. I got plans. I got some stuff I want to do, and I don't want to wait until you die." Amen. I want to get on with it right now. I want y'all to get the picture of how grievous a request this was for this boy to come and ask his father. And the father in this case represents God. And he was a gracious father because he honored the boy's request and he divided his livelihood. And he gave him his third because the youngest son could only receive one third and the oldest son received a double portion. So he gave him a third of all of his possessions. And when you look at it, it pictures all sinners, amen, who waste their potential privileges on sinful living. It represents all, amen, sinners who waste their potential privilege, amen, and by not having a meaningful relationship with God. Amen. So, you know, he chose instead to live a life of sinful indulgence because he wanted from under his father's covering. He went from under his father's blessing and chose to live a life that he wanted to live on his own. And I'll talk about that some more because, see, what we don't understand, and young people, let me talk to you for just a moment. When you walk away from your parents and you leave their covering, you open yourself up to Satan and all kind of drama that can come into your life because you've left the covering of those who love you most. The younger son packed up his stuff. The Bible says he journeyed to a far country, and there he wasted his possessions with prodigal living. Amen. He abandoned his father. He moved to, maybe it was the Atlantic City of their time or the Vegas of their day. You know, people talk about it today. What happens in Vegas does what? Stays in Vegas. So people like to go places where they can do stuff and everybody else not know about it. But he went there and engaged in illicit living, immoral living, not just wasteful extravagance, but in wanton, amen, immorality, if you will. And you know how sin will affect us if it is left unchecked. Because you know how people act today, don't you? People do some crazy stuff today when they don't think or consider God in their actions, and therefore alcohol and drugs and sexual misconduct and ungodly behavior rules and reigns in their lives. You know, but in all the fun he thought he was having, that was another typical occurrence that took place. Bible says that when he had spent all, when he was broke, when he was busted, all of his so-called friends abandoned him. Yeah. And the Bible said he found himself being in want and nobody would give him anything. And while he was down and out to add insult to injury, the Lord sent a famine upon the land. And he was really in trouble at that point because nobody would help him and he just didn't have any food, amen, in order to live. But I want you to understand, and y'all know that old saying, don't you? Sin will take you farther than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and cost you more than you're willing to pay. Sin will mess you up. Sin will mess up your marriage. It'll mess up your job. Amen. It will cause you to be at odds with your family and your friends. And if you're not careful and you're doing something that is illegal along with it being immoral, you might find yourself in trouble with the law. Sin will mess you up. And that's what this young man found out. The sin got him out there and he couldn't get back. But when he hit bottom, when desperation had really taken over, and you know that old saying that desperation causes, or calls for, I should say, desperate measures. So the Bible says he went out and joined himself to a citizen of the land. And when he got there, The man said, okay, you can work for me, but I only got one thing that you can do. I got hogs, and you need to go feed my hogs. And he was a Jew. And Jews and hogs just don't mix. Amen. But he sent him into the fields to feed the hogs. And while he was there feeding them, because he was in a tough place, he was desperate, amen, just trying to survive. The Bible says that he got so hungry that he was tempted to eat the food that he was feeding the hogs. Now, you know, that's pretty, you down pretty low at that point. You down on the bottom when you are ready to eat the same thing that you feed into an animal that is abominable to you in the pure sense of the word. But nobody would give him anything to eat. Nobody would help him in any way, shape, or form. But you know, when you hit that position in life, sometimes you have to talk to yourself. Verse 17, it says, but when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? First of all, he came to himself. And then he began to talk to himself. Let me ask you, anybody in here ever had a conversation with themselves beside me? Amen. I thank the Lord some of y'all are being honest, and I'm not by myself. Because I know there have been times that I had to talk to me. Amen. And I didn't say self. I just said, boy, you know, fool, how'd you get in this position? Amen. And you know, sometimes we have to hear ourselves in order to really understand our plight or our predicament. Amen. You've lost your mind. And for some reason, it really resonates when you hear yourself say to yourself, you crazy. Amen. It lingers and hangs in there. But listen to how he reasoned with himself. He says, why am I hungry working with these nasty hogs, these abominable hogs, which is really sin for me as a Jew, when the servants in my father's house have food and enough to spare? They got plenty of food, and here I am down here about to starve because I don't have anything and won't nobody give me any help. And he said to himself, let me get myself together and go home. You know, wasn't nobody telling him that. He said it to himself, I need to get up and carry myself on back home. Amen. And when I get there, I'm going to humble myself and ask for forgiveness. Look at how he did it. He said, I will arise and go to my father's house and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. And he humbled himself. He planned, he was rehearsing what he was going to say when he got back to his father's house. But y'all know how we do it. We can be wrong as two left shoes. And when we get back, we want to negotiate our return. Amen. You know how we do it. You drove me out there. You made me go and do what I did. It's your fault that I left you and went and act crazy. No, but that's how we do it. And then moreover, we got nerve enough to say, now, if you let me come back, I still want to be in charge. Huh? There's something wrong when you mess up and then you want to still do stuff that says you're in charge. But humility says in verse 19, I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your higher servants. And see, when a person is truly penitent, they will humble themselves, amen, and accept whatever comes from their repentance. And here we find this young man is getting his story together because he wanted to come back to his father right. He wanted to come back to his father and be accepted by him because he is the one who messed up. So as a result, he comes back and he experiences the father's compassion. Verse 20 and 22, it says, and he got up and went to his father. Amen. But when he still was a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Before the son could finish his statement, before he could finish what he had rehearsed and prepared, the Bible says that the father showed him compassion. The father interrupted him and didn't even let him finish everything that he had planned to say. And what it demonstrates is the eagerness of God to forgive us for our sins and restore us to a position of usefulness in the body of Christ. Amen. And don't you understand? He did it without one single word of rebuke. He didn't say you was bad, you was wrong. He just embraced him and kissed him on the neck. The father poured out his love upon his son because he loved him. He expressed the joy of his son who had been lost, now being found. And see, when he did it, he did it by giving him gifts. And every gift expressed, amen, something special, something unique about that boy coming back to his father the right way. When he told the servant, he said, get the robe and put it on him. See, the robe was reserved for the honored guests of the occasion. Amen. He said, go get a robe and bring it and put it on. Not just a robe, get the best robe and bring it and put it on him. And then he said, go get a ring and put a ring on his finger. And the ring was symbolic of authority. It was symbolic of someone who had power within the family structure. And then he said, get some sandals and put on his feet. Slaves didn't wear sandals. Servants traditionally did not wear sandals, but put sandals on his feet, which represented the fact that he was fully restored to sonship. Oh, my God. Then he said, go get the fatted calf. Bring it and kill it. And let us eat and be merry. The fatted calf was reserved for only those extra special occasions when the family would come together in order to celebrate the blessings of God. And in this particular instance, we see that it is an occasion that we see them celebrating the lavishness of salvation. We see them celebrating, amen, this most special occasion when this boy who was spiritually dead, separated from his family, lost, had been found and brought back into full relationship with his father. Ephesians 1:3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. God didn't just give us a little bit. God gave us the hookup. He gave us every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus in heavenly places. And therefore, you and I, we ought to be thankful, not just on Thursday. We ought to be thankful every day of our lives because we have a relationship with Jesus Christ and he has given us everything we need. The Father's compassion, his love for you and I is boundless. It is without limit. God loves us even when we are wrong. But let me, as I head to a close, let me just help you understand. This Father kicked off a celebration of thanks. And in verse 24, it says, "For my son was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found. He began to be merry." And you have to understand, when the family of God is rejoicing, when God's people rejoices, there are going to be some haters who come around. And they're not going to understand why you're so happy, why you have tears of joy, why you are honoring God in every part of your life. They just don't understand. But what you do need to know and remember, that every time a sinner comes back to God, the angels in heaven rejoice. When you look at Luke 15, all three of the parables that are told in that chapter of Luke, the verse and the summary, the emphasis is that of thanksgiving. When the one man found his lost sheep, he did what? He told his friends to come and celebrate with me. When the lady found the one lost coin, she called and said, "Come and celebrate with me." This father, his son, came back to him the right way, and he said, "Bring the fatted calf, let's kill it and celebrate because my son has come back home." And when a person comes back to God, we have, as the church of Jesus Christ, reason to celebrate their return to God with thanksgiving. One of the biggest, celebrations of a family should be when a loved one gives their life to Christ, when a child is baptized, when somebody has renewed their relationship with the Lord. It ought to be a time of crying. It ought to be a time of shouting, a time of rejoicing. And that's all this father was doing here. The father's response was, it was right. It was right that we should make merry. It was right, amen, that we should be glad because your brother, my son, has come home alive. He's alive again when we didn't really know he was lost, but now he has been found. It was right, and it is right for you and I to celebrate the blessings of Almighty God, not just on Thursday, but every day of our lives. There were two little girls on Thanksgiving Day, and they were misbehaving, they were cutting up, they were being bad. And their father told them, he said, "Now, y'all better settle down. You're being bad." And they just kept on like he didn't say nothing. He finally said, "Look, go to your room. I'm not going to let you sit and eat Thanksgiving dinner with the family." And somewhat distraught, the little girls went upstairs to their room, sitting there sadly looking at one another. But a few minutes later, they heard their mother say, "Girls, come on, come on, come on down. Come to dinner. Girls, come on down to dinner." And they came down and took their places at the table, and they looked, and there was something strange because their father wasn't sitting there. And they said, "Mom, where's Dad?" The mother looked at him and said, "Dad is in his room."
He loved you all so much that he could not deny your having the blessing of Thanksgiving dinner. Oh, when I think about when we were in our sin, when we were weak, the Bible says, and without strength, it says that Jesus came down through 42 generations. He left his place at the Father's right hand and came into the sinful world, took on sinful flesh, amen, that he lived a life that was perfect, that blessed everybody that he touched. And in his living a perfect life, my Bible says that Jesus, late one Friday evening, he was despised. He was rejected of men. Amen. He came to his own, and his own received him not. They sentenced him to death by crucifixion. They chose on that day a murderer and a zealot named Barabbas. And Jesus was sentenced to die for the sins of mankind. He was sentenced to die for your sins and for mine. And they nailed nails through his hands, and they drove nails through his feet, and they raised him up between two thieves out on Mount Calvary. But it's all right that they raised him up, because he said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. And they raised him up, and he hung there, the Bible says, from the sixth until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, he cried out and said, Father, it's finished now. Into your hands I commend my spirit. He laid his head in the locks of his shoulders and gave up the ghost out on Mount Calvary. They took him down and laid him in old man Joseph's new tomb. But he let it be known, I just need it for a little while. I'm just going to borrow it, because in a few days I'm going to get up out of the grave. And they rolled a stone up and sealed the grave all night Friday night and all night Saturday night. Jesus laid in the grave. Yeah. I know the enemy thought he had victory, but sometime before the sun came up on Sunday morning, Jesus, my rock of Neverland, my bread when I get hungry, my doctor in a sick room, got up. He got up early Sunday morning with all power in heaven and earth in his hand. And I'm glad today, I'm thankful today, that he went back to glory, sit down at the right hand of majesty. And in heaven, I have an advocate who champions my every cause before the Father in glory. Well, I'm glad today, and I'm truly thankful for the blessings of God. I am truly thankful because God has been good to me. And if I might just testify just for a moment, the Lord blessed me with a beautiful wife. Oh, y'all, come on now. He blessed me with five wonderful children and their wives. And then he gave me nine awesome grandchildren and got two on the way. Oh, y'all. See, y'all don't understand why I'm so thankful this morning. Yeah, and then to really... He gave me health, he gave me strength, he gave me the activities of my limbs, when I was sick, he raised me up, blessed me with a nice home, transportation, got some decent clothes. I'm thankful for God's goodness to me. But you know, as much as I thank God for all of that, you know who I thank God for most of all? I thank God for my Lord and my Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I thank him because through him, not only do I have eternal life, I have life more abundantly. God has been mighty good to me. I'm thankful that he's coming back again. I'm thankful that when he comes and I go to that Bema seat judgment, oh, I got some things that I'm not going to be proud of, but I got some things that I've done right. And I believe in that hour, he's going to say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. And this morning, if God has been good to you, if God has blessed you and you are truly thankful, let me get you to stand on your feet. Now, don't fool me now. If you, you know, if you really, if God hadn't been good to you, don't, just keep your seat. Amen. But if he has blessed you, if God has been good to you, just repeat after me. Oh, give thanks to the Lord.
For he is good.
Oh, y'all didn't, let's do it one more time. Oh, give thanks to the Lord.
For he is good.
Oh, we're going to do it one more time. Y'all act like somebody just scored a touchdown, slam dunked, or did something else. Oh, give thanks to the Lord.
Oh, give thanks to the Lord.
For he is.
For he